claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Jim.
Yeah. Mitchell?
Yeah.
Well, this is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal. We have some technical glitches this morning. I suppose that goes with the territory. I want to begin by talking about the assassination of Martin Luther King, about which the public knows very, very little. We're told that it was committed by a lone gunman. Where have we heard that before? Sirhan Sirhan, of course, is supposed to have been the lone gunman to take out Bobby. And, of course, Lee Harvey Oswald, the lone gunman to take out JFK. We know none of that is true. Jack, for example, was shot in the back from the top of the county records building. He was shot in the throat from inside the triple underpass. After the driver, William Greer, pulled the limousine to the left into a halt, he was shot in the head, back of the head, from the Daltex, slumped forward. Jack eased him back up, was looking him right in the face when he was hit in the right temple by a shot fired from the intersection of the triple underpass and the picket fence, and where David W. Mantic, the leading expert on the medical evidence in the assassination of John F. Kennedy in the world today, believes there was even a third shot to the head, where Lee Oswald was actually standing in the doorway when the motorcade passed by. His early students as Harold Weisberg, in the second volume of his Whitewash series published in 1967, was explaining how the Warren staff was having a terrible time concealing the fact that Lee Oswald had been in the doorway. Well, similarly, Sirhan Sirhan, Thomas Noguchi, who was a world-famous medical examiner, performed an autopsy, ascertaining that Bobby had been killed by a shot fired from about an inch and a half behind his right ear, and that as he fell to the ground, several other shots entered his body, one under the armpit, another in the back, a third went through his clothing. Bobby grabbed the tie of the security guard standing beside him, Thane Eugene Caesar, who appears to have been the assassin. While Sirhan fired shots, he had a weapon of the same make and caliber as that of the security guard. He fired eight shots, but none of them hit Bobby. The one did injure another, you know, one of Bobby's associates there. But Sirhan didn't shoot Bobby at all. In fact, we have a recording that 12 to 14 shots were fired. The Dallas police were in on it. They covered it up. They destroyed the pantry, claiming that they had to, because it couldn't fit in a 3x5 card file, which is about as absurd as it gets. Well, Martin is a similar despicable situation where Ole Domegaard did a wonderful interview with Carrie Cassidy on Project Camelot. This was several years ago, but I'm seeking to have it reposted on my BitChute channel, Jim Fetzer. Where Ole explained that Martin was actually set up by members of his entourage. I mean, this is one of those stories that I find extremely distressing, that one of the keys was supposed to be that only Martin would be wearing a tie. But looking at photographs, it appears to me that there was at least one other in his entourage who was also wearing a tie. He was on the balcony of the Lorraine Motel in Memphis, where he'd originally been staying or going to stay at a more secure location, but it was owned by whites, and a call was made suggesting that was not appropriate for Martin to be staying. Of course, the claim was made James Earl Ray had been responsible, but James Earl Ray really had essentially nothing to do with it. I'm really troubled by the fact that we have so many phony reports about what's gone on here in a case like this, where where Ole discovered several Masonic symbols in the scene, including a big, you know, a pyramidal structure in the vicinity. But here's what you need to know. There were at least four rifles that were pointed at Martin that day. The actual shooter was a Memphis Police Department sniper. It was in bushes in front of the Lorraine Motel. The false story was set up that the shot had been fired from a bathroom window of a store in the background, and where actually the store owner was indicted by a jury and convicted of complicity in the assassination, in effect exonerating James Earl Ray, who, however, had died in prison prior to the exoneration. And where, remarkably enough, Martin didn't die at the scene. He had a very substantial wound that's been elaborated upon by, among others, Cyril Wecht, who is the famous Allegheny County coroner who's been involved in many, many celebrity events. He didn't die of the wound, but was instead transported to a hospital more distant than necessary, where a racist physician had declared that if Martin weren't dead, bring him to me and I'll finish him off. He cleared everyone else out of the emergency room and suffocated Martin to death with a pillow. There you have the gruesome outline of what happened to Martin Luther King. Both LBJ and Edgar, J. Edgar Hoover, were very unhappy with Martin. He was not a saint. He had his flaws. You've all heard of dalliances that JFK engaged in, where he apparently wasn't much of a lover. For example, Angie Dickinson said that her affair with JFK was the greatest 15 seconds of her life. Well, Martin had a different attraction for white women, and Edgar had his rooms bugged, so he would record Martin's sessions, sex romps with these women, and then send them tape recordings to Coretta King. I mean, his wife. I mean, this was, what can I say? There was hatred here. I don't know whether Bobby might have run with Martin Luther King. I believe Bobby would have been unbeatable. I don't think there's any question that was the reason he was taken out. There was complicity with the CIA in the operation. A colleague of mine, a former Army captain who was put on special assignment to work for the CIA, who published a book about it called The Zenith Secret, identified three persons who were in the ambassador at the time as CIA operatives, and they had coordination with the LAPD, who apparently wanted to get their Kennedy, just as the Dallas PD had got theirs. All pretty disgusting stuff, all things considered. And I just have to tell you, it grieves me to have to even report about these aspects of American history. But the American people are entitled to know the truth, and this is part of it. more recent developments right here in the U.S. And by the way, look for that wonderful, it's a 2.5 hour presentation by Oli with Kerry Cassidy. Look for that appear on my BitChute channel, Jim Fetzer, BITCHUTE, channel, where just to get it right, bitchute.com/video/Jim, capital J-I-M, underscore F-E-T-Z-E-R. We'll get you there. bitchute.com/video/Jim_Fetzer. We'll get you there. Where, you know, virtually all of my recent interviews are being posted, and you'll find them in abundance on virtually any subject under the sun. Meanwhile, we have Trump declaring that in 2024 we're going to take back the White House. He had a sensational rally in Arizona on Saturday, told the crowd, get out and vote and make sure it's not a rigged vote, please. This crowd is a massive symbol of what took place because the people are hungry for the truth. They want their country back. He told his Save America rally in Florence, Arizona, which lasted almost 2 hours. I got a bit of it. He was classic vintage Trump, tens and tens of thousands of people turning out. He had a recent event in Florida, too, where, again, tens and tens of thousands. He was filling, a stadium that might hold 50, 60,000 people. And this is just Trump, who's not even, not the president today. He's a civilian, a former president. But when you have a Biden event, there might be 8 or 10 people who are socially distanced who are reporters. No one turns out for Biden events. In fact, it's one of the signs about the massiveness of the theft of the election in 2020, that Biden and Harris made a rare joint appearance in Phoenix just a few days before the election. And guess what? Nobody showed up. Nobody. Zilch. Nada. None. Zip. Zero. And if nobody's turning out for Biden and Harris, how in God's name could Arizona go to Biden, for God's sake? I mean, this is all so outrageous. We have a host of ongoing investigations, of course, across the country, and yet the lamestream media will demonize anyone who challenges. The Democrats go stark raving mad about it because they're self-conscious. This, bear in mind, is a whole reason for the completely manufactured January 6th event. I'm convinced this was Nancy Pelosi, who's in charge of the Capitol Police, and by the way, whose records she's unwilling to share with the public or the January 6th Commission. So Nancy Pelosi, who is a key figure in orchestrating this whole event, is unwilling to share her records. That tells you how serious they are about it. When the Speaker of the House, who's in charge of the Capitol Police, withholds her own records, which would be damning indeed, complimented by Merrick Garland's refusal to answer the question under oath in front of Congress as to whether the FBI was present on January 6th. He refused to answer, and no doubt because the answer would have blown the mind of every American who has any lingering faith in the FBI. We know that the whole kidnapping plot against Gretchen Whitmer up in Michigan, which drew her a lot of sympathy, was organized by the FBI. 5 out of 6 of the participants were FBI or FBI informants. The whole thing was god-awful. We know the bombing of the Blind Sheik back in 1992 under the World Trade Center was orchestrated by the FBI. They were supposed to give fake explosives, but they actually provided real ones. But this was another FBI op. We know again and again and again the FBI is complicit in these very, very bad events that have political significance and are used by one side to demonize the other. And you can guess which side that is. On January 6th, for example, there was a fellow who stood up by the name of Ray Epps, E-P-P-S. Check him out. Ray Epps was instigating the whole event, telling people we had to go to the Capitol. We had to go to the Capitol and let them know. The crowd was aware that Epps was phony and fake, and they put up a chant, Fed, around Ray Epps. But when Merrick Garland is asked whether there are any FBI, his silence, his unwillingness to answer speaks volumes. And, of course, as I've reported previously many times, James, the brother of John Sullivan, a leader of Antifa, said his brother led 226 Antifa members dressed as Trump supporters into the White House, into the Capitol, to create mayhem. There's a nice video about it on my BitChute channel, by the way. You'd have to scroll quite a ways down. I think it may be 18 May. Go on down and you'll find there's about 21 minutes, and you can see the whole thing is orchestrated, that there are individuals who are directing and managing the crowd, telling them where to go, that there were pre-positioned, you know, crowbars and stuff like that, hammers and whatever. I mean, this whole thing was totally as phony as it can be. And, of course, because Trump had wiped the Democrats out not just once now but twice, they had to take measures to try to preclude him from doing it all over again in 2024, which they could, of course, see coming. I mean, the steps and measures they took to steal the election in 2020 were absolutely mind-boggling, where Zuckerbucks all over the country. I mean, tens of billions of dollars worth to hire unqualified vote counters who would examine the ballots, and if they were Trump ballots, they'd tear them up, and if they Biden, they'd process them multiple times. I mean, this is Zuckerberg, the Facebook guy, absolutely disgusting. And we know how Jeff Bezos and YouTube and even Google are really entering the fray on behalf of the Democrats and suppressing the truth being reported by numerous sources in favor of their preferred version of events. And mind you, I'm not dictating that anyone should have be in the position of telling you, you know, arbitrating between the true and the false. What we need is to have every position presented, and then you can use the evidence to sort it out, applying scientific reasoning. We have a situation that's puzzling, doesn't make sense, like January 6th. What in the world's going on here? How can Trump be guilty of inciting a riot when he was speaking at the Ellipse, when he didn't finish speaking until 1:11, when it was a mile and a half away, when his supporters weren't even there at the Capitol, though they drift over later a good number, but where the events had already been taking place for 20, 25 minutes already, 12:45, intrusions began. There were Capitol officers being attacked by 12:55. By 1:00, the head of the Capitol security was calling for reinforcements. This is long before Donald Trump arrived. And, of course, they're trying to get him on incitement of an insurrection, because the Section 3 of the 14th Amendment says that any government official, anyone who's taken an oath to uphold the Constitution and who nevertheless participates in an insurrection, is no longer eligible for federal office. So they're manufacturing an event to use a statute that does not actually apply, because there was no incitement and there was no insurrection, but they're trying to have you believe it by propagating endless disinformation about it, repeated over and over again, where they're following the admonition of Henry Kissinger, who observed that the facts don't matter. All that matter is perceptions. That if people think an insurrection took place, and they'll you know, store that in their brain housing group, and they'll assume, well, maybe there's something to this case against Trump to preclude him. That's what it's all about. But the whole thing was completely stacked with the January 6th commission, where Liz Cheney, who's the most prominent anti-Trumper of all Republicans, is given a distinguished panel seat as though this were supposed to be a bipartisan, and where excellent people like Jim Jordan, who would have ripped the whole thing to shreds, are not allowed by, guess who, Nancy Pelosi to participate. This woman is complete scum, and history is not going to be kind to Nancy Pelosi. Meanwhile, Trump observes, I want their country back between the open borders and the bad elections. And we always thought of a beautiful country that had fair elections. Now we're the laughingstock all over the world for many reasons. A great red wave is going to begin right here in Arizona. It's going to sweep across this country, pointing to the important first of the 2022 midterms to bring Republicans back into the majority in the House and the Senate. I do believe that 2024 will be even more important, but this is the year we're going to take back the House, we're going to take back the Senate, and we're going to take back America. This is so important. And believe me, Trump is 100% correct if we actually have an election, and I'll explain why I believe the Democrats are desperate to avoid it, that the Republicans are going to take at least 100 seats in the House, 3 or 4 Senate seats. I mean, they're going to have complete control. It's going to put things upside down back in the right way they should be. I would expect impeachment charges against Biden, who's committed dozens of impeachable acts. I mean, it's just outrageous, would take place virtually immediately. So the Democrats have to forestall it. Trump continues. He began with rejecting the media's narrative, fighting over allegations of voter fraud. They always talk about the big lie, but the fake news and the lamestream media refused and they refused and they refused to talk about it. They continue to refuse to talk about it. They say, well, it's unsubstantiated, and call it the big lie. The big lie is a lot of bullshit. That's what it is, because they're in the pocket of the radical left Democrats, the same people who are destroying our country. I think it's slightly different that the media, the overwhelming majority of reporters, executives at CNN, NBC, The New York Times, for example, are dual U.S.-Israeli citizens, where the Rothschilds play a key role in founding Israel, where the Rothschilds own both the AP and Reuters. And it's really the Rothschilds who are in control, and where Biden is a puppet of the Rothschilds. And because the Rothschilds are used to a monarchy, this Lynn DeForest Rothschild, whom I believe is actually calling the shots on behalf of the family, is taking much too strong stands for Biden that come across as regal, because she's used to a monarchy where he's acting like a king, and he's offending Americans right and left. I mean, he's making statements that are so distant from our political culture and past practice, they stand out like a sore thumb, and nobody likes it. Trump continued, Biden has utterly humiliated our nation on the world stage. Putin is not only threatening Ukraine, I don't know if you've been reading about it, but he's threatening to go into Cuba and Venezuela. Well, what Putin did was to try to bring home how the U.S. would feel if they were subjected to conditions such as Russia is experiencing, where NATO is putting missile batteries right on the border of Russia. So Putin is suggesting, you know, maybe we should install Russian military capabilities in Cuba and in Venezuela. That's to bring the point home. It's not that he intends to do it. He wants people to look at it from the Russian point of view, which, of course, we're not doing, because this is all politicized, and because I now believe that the Democrats would like to have a war, because historically, during war, the U.S. population has rallied behind the president. It was like W was in the toilet politically in the polls until 9/11. And because we were convinced there was a foreign attack on the United States, the American people rallied to support him, and he reached unprecedented heights of popularity. But it was all a sham. It was all a chimera. In this case, given how Biden botched the withdrawal from Afghanistan, my belief is, in fact, if there were a war with Russia, And one of the nice features of Donald Trump is he kept us out of any new wars. You'd have to go back a long ways to find any other president doing so, beginning with Reagan, who had like six or seven, George H.W. Bush, five, and just move forward, Clinton, at least three, then Obama wound up having, five or more again. But Trump, none. Trump didn't get us in any wars. Well, Biden thinks he can use it to his benefit. I don't believe it'll play out. It'll be regarded as more of his incompetence. Trump continues. That's a lack of respect, and we never had that problem, did we? There was no problem with Putin in Ukraine, no problem with President Xi in Taiwan. China, Russia, and Iran are now engaging in aggression and provocation. They would never have done so, dared to do so 1 year ago. They would never have done any of this. They're toying with us. Now, in many ways, I think even more important than Trump's appearance there was that he was endorsing a gubernatorial candidate by the name of Kerry Lake at this Arizona rally. And Kerry was making a lot of very bold statements. I want to lock somebody down, that liar Dr. Fauci. My BS meter goes off every time he opens his mouth. I'm very impressed with her. Kerry came into her own tonight. She embodies the grit, charisma, and balls of the new Republican Party. Listen to what she said, Kerry Lake. We, the people, are no longer willing to put up with the shots in our arms, the swabs up our noses, and those filthy masks on our face in order to make a living or send our kids to school. We're done. No more. When I am your governor, there will be no mandates, no lockdowns. Actually, let me revise that a little bit. A little bit. There will be. I want to lock somebody down, and it's that liar, Dr. Fauci. The crowd, lock him up, lock him up, lock him up. Kerry Lake, that guy is bad news. I don't know about you guys, but my BS meter goes crazy whenever he opens his mouth. The night belonged to Kerry Lake. She was outstanding. And while I'm not into transgender, in my view, it was wonderful to be, a woman candidate to be the governor of Arizona who has balls. She's got balls the size of an elephant. I am so impressed with Kerry Lake, and I'm so glad Donald Trump was there endorsing her for the governorship of Arizona, which I expect her to win in a walk if we have anything remotely approximating fair elections, which, of course, the Democrats are going to seek to guarantee we do not. We now hitting the break, and I look forward to continuing our conversation right after, if we are on schedule and the servers are functioning as they should. Hearing nothing.
Hey, Jim. Mr. Rose, we're working on the break behind the scenes. Just wanted to...
Okay, Mitchell. Should I continue, or do you think you'll have it up?
I'm not sure. I hear it running.
Thank you.
Take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey everyone, it's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, when you put all the pieces together, the open borders, the supply chain problems, destroying America's energy independence, high inflation, I mean, there are a host of issues going together that suggest the Biden administration itself is a tip of the spear in bringing about the collapse of America. And now we have the development that they're building a concrete wall around the White House, right? They don't want a wall at our border, which would benefit the American people, but they're constructing, in this case, a concrete wall around the White House. So, really, you got to ask yourself, what do they know we don't know? The White House barricading itself with a wall. The question then is asked, why is the legacy media silent on this? The answer? Because the D.C. regime is scared shitless. They likely believe and fear a major U.S. military coup is on the way, and the White House will be taken and cleaned out of vermin. Are they likely correct on this belief? I actually don't think they're worried so much about a military coup. I think they're worried about a popular uprising by the American people who have had enough. This is where I think Carrie Lake is doing a brilliant job. She may provide a new source of inspiration for the entire nation. The French Revolution was a popular uprising. It wasn't a military coup, where the French people with pitchforks and knives and, you know, sledgehammers took on the French aristocracy, and they put to death, you know, the king and the queen. They were beheaded. Well, I think that might be a very suitable fate, at least symbolically, for those who are running the shop now. Well, remember, go back, reread the Declaration of Independence. When in the course of events, you know, it reflects quite accurately that when a population finds itself subject to a tyranny, that it has the right to rise up and take arms against it and to defeat it and replace it. Well, something terribly, terribly wrong is going on here. And I think that the Biden administration is going to take measures, even using our military against the American people, and the American people aren't going to like it. And because we are the most heavily armed nation in the world, really we are distinctive in that regard, with over 130 million armed Americans, where millions more are first-time gun buyers. In the wake of the Democrat platform of defund the police, where I just mentioned as an aside, I mean, what kind of priorities has it to demonize, you know, those who are Trump supporters or anti-vaxxers as domestic terrorists, when we had a whole summer where there were literally hundreds of riots with looting and arson going on across the country? And you never once heard those people described as domestic terrorists. They were domestic terrorists, but they weren't described as domestic terrorists. And where you have this attorney general who, thank God, was not appointed to the Supreme Court. This guy is as corrupt as they come. Now creating a new element, a new division within the FBI focusing on domestic terrorism. So what's going on? This piece about the concrete wall around the White House. Where does the military's true power lie? In special operations, the U.S. Navy graybeards and some very pissed off colonels and flag officers forced out by Obama and his fake male husband, Michael Robinson, the man Joan Rivers exposed as a tranny and was murdered by Obama's thugs. By the way, Obama was synthetically created a CIA entity like his family, all college and law records faked, a complete phony and just another mass murderer, which I think is really an accurate depiction. Michelle was born Michael Yvonne Robinson, played football at Oregon State before transferring to Princeton and adopting a female persona as Michelle, no longer Michael. We have photographs of her and Brock together where she has no breasts. I mean, she's obviously a man. This is before her conversion. We have photographs of her after leaving the White House where she's let her beard grow. You can relax after all. Where a physician who was in attendance of Michelle during a campaign event in Trenton, New Jersey, walked into her taking a leak standing up in a trailer there, who reports he was paid millions for his silence but can no longer not speak out given what they've done to the country, who explains that Michelle Obama is not a man who underwent a sex change operation. No, Michelle Obama is a man who had breast implants and a huge shaving bill. That's what we've got. In fact, there's so many perverts in the government. This includes Hillary Clinton and the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, who has her own pizzeria in San Francisco, Goat Hill Pizza, where I believe they're both deeply involved in American-style pedophilia, which is known as Pizzagate. But it's really merely the American franchise of international child sex trading, where Jeffrey Epstein was top of the mark. He was the high water. He was the most successful. He had the largest home in Manhattan, a veritable palace. because he was providing child sex slaves for American politicians. Bill Clinton wrote on the Lolita Express some 26 times. We even have John Roberts listed as having been on the Lolita Express, and Alan Dershowitz, though, of course, he denies it. But the fact is, there's a video out there which is rather haunting, where you see Jeffrey Epstein tormenting a quite beautiful young teenage girl who's tied down in a way that is a little too obvious for sexual exploitation. I'm telling you, this is all disgusting stuff. I do not for a second believe, by the way, Jeffrey Epstein committed suicide and the cameras just went out. If he committed suicide, the cameras wouldn't have gone out. They went out because he was making an escape, and I suspect he's perhaps even on his own island in the Caribbean sipping Mai Tais. Meanwhile, Joe Biden is making his move to hunt down Trump supporters. This is really important. The Democrats are losing their grip on power. Republicans are poised for a big win in the midterm election, so Biden is making his move right now to hunt down Trump supporters. January 6th is being used by Biden's Department of Justice to go after Donald Trump supporters or anyone who questions a Democratic establishment. Assistant Attorney General for National Security Matt Olson, O-L-S-E-N, announced the DOJ would be creating a specialized unit for the purpose of combating domestic terrorism. In light of the Capitol Hill riot, the establishment has the excuse it needs to turn the war on terror inward. Former CIA Director John Brennan gave up the game in a cable news interview last year when he said even libertarians need to be monitored and investigated as domestic threats, even libertarians. Now, John Brennan is a scumbag who, in collusion with Hillary as Secretary of State and Obama as president, created ISIS, this terrorist army, to rape and loot and pillage and murder, which they did in abundance and staggering number in Syria, to put pressure on the democratically elected president of Syria, Bashar al-Assad. Yes, if you didn't notice, we cannot be in Syria to bring democracy to Syria because Syria is already a democracy. Brennan is a complete scumbag, yet you'll have CNN, for example, hosting him as an expert on foreign policy. He is as big a traitor to the United States as we have had, where Hillary and Obama and Pelosi are all in that same category. Michael Flynn, by the way, who is then the director of the National Intelligence Agency, opposed creating ISIS. So Brennan suggested to Obama he ought to fire him, which Obama obligingly did. This is why they had to go after Flynn with a completely contrived attack when he was going to be the national security advisor to Donald Trump. Flynn knew where the bodies are buried. Flynn could not be played. He would have made it far, far more difficult for Donald Trump to be manipulated. Here we now have this assistant attorney general declaring, the threat posed by domestic terrorism is on the rise. The number of FBI investigations over the past 2 years since March of 2020 has more than doubled. The attacks in recent years underscore the threat that domestic terrorism continues to pose to our citizens, to law enforcement officers, to public officials, and to our democratic institutions. Based on the assessment of the intelligence community, which has been also politicized, we face an elevated threat from domestic violent extremists. This is all nonsense. This is all bunk. It goes without saying the DOJ is only concerned with right-wing threats. During the Trump administration, lawmakers and deep state actors would not even acknowledge the existence of Antifa, a violent, authoritarian communist group that wreaked havoc throughout the nation for a year and were egged on by the Democrats, who are saying there should be more protests. See, Nancy Pelosi was saying that, not just Maxine Waters, who's a complete lunatic, but even Kamala Harris. They were all out there cheering on the destruction of America through riots and looting and arson. You never heard the word domestic terrorism being applied by them to what was going on in America because it was part and parcel of their agenda to destroy America. What we're actually witnessing is a classic Bolshevik revolution, a Marxist cultural revolution. It began taking down the statues of American heroes, especially those that were erected after the Civil War to express respect and unification, reconciliation between the North and the South. Take those down, because after all, they are reminders of the past that we already worked through and regained our sense of balance. Those were tokens of respect to the South. So you want to take those down, because based upon your diagnosis of American history, the most likely tensions you can manifest or recreate are racial tensions. But in addition, you want to let criminals out on the street. You find some prospect to let criminals out on the street so they'll wreak more mayhem. Defund the police so there's a weaker law enforcement. Look at all the measures they're doing. These are classic. You have district attorneys put in office by funding from sources like George Soros, who's declared his life's ambition is the destruction of America, who, like in Kenosha or in Waukesha, you have a DA who doesn't believe in bail. He thinks bail is racist, so he's going to let those who create offenses out on low bail. Thus, we had the fellow who drove through the crowd in Waukesha. He was out on $1,000 bail, even though the offenses with which he was charged, including running over his girlfriend with his car, where the district attorney said he knew that it would be unpopular, that some people would be harmed or even die as a consequence, but in his opinion, it was worth it. Think about it. It was worth it for innocent people to die because of his ideological belief that bail is racist. This is completely grotesque. Meanwhile, the powers that be are intent on investigating school board meetings, parents who show up to protest. Attorney General Garland has authorized an investigation into parents attending school board meetings to protest against COVID restrictions and the neo-Marxist offshoots of critical theory being taught in school, most notably critical race theory, which, as I assume everyone in this audience understands, divides the nation into the oppressors and the oppressed, where the oppressors are the whites and the oppressed everyone else. It's very peculiar how, for example, in Kenosha, the three goons who tried to kill Kyle Rittenhouse, and each of them tried to kill him. There's no doubt one hit him with a skateboard repeatedly. That was a deadly weapon. Another raised a pistol at him and was about to unload when Kyle shot him. The third lunged at him to attack him with his bare hands after threatening to kill him several times before. All three were Jewish. Now, that's very odd, because it seems that the Jews are distinguishing themselves from the white people. You never hear any identification of these individuals as being Jewish, where one of them had a cell phone for which they had a warrant to download, but they never did, where a detective with the Kenosha police said he'd never seen that happen in his years on the force. I believe it's because it would have shown there was a conspiracy taking place. These guys were engaging together to make an example of Kyle Rittenhouse for having shown up where he wasn't wanted with a weapon. Kyle simply was too good. I was so impressed and regard Kyle Rittenhouse as a bona fide, legitimate American hero. Olson, this is now the assistant attorney general, added the DOJ sees a growing threat from those who are motivated by racial animus as well as those who ascribe to extremist anti-government and anti-authority ideology. But groups like Black Lives Matter are not on the DOJ radar. BLM. Chapter presidents have said they want to burn down the entire system if they don't get what they want. In Oakland, hundreds of BLM and Antifa protesters chanted death to America as they marched through the street. But left-wing extremism is seemingly fine because of ties to the Democratic Party. BLM essentially serves as a fundraiser for Democrat campaigns where donations to BLM go to Act Blue, an organization dispersing money to various Democrats running for office. And one of the top executives at BLM is Susan Rosenberg, a convicted far-left terrorist who spent 16 years in prison before having her sentence commuted by Bill Clinton. So if the DOJ wants to investigate domestic terror, it can start with a Democratic Party. By the way, I don't think it's just coincidence that Susan Rosenberg, like Saul Alinsky, like others who have been promoting, you know, terror and anarchy in the United States, are Jewish, that we have Bibi Netanyahu declaring that we're going to suck America dry, that America is a golden calf, we're going to suck it dry and leave it as nothing but a gigantic welfare state, because that's what we do to nations we hate. This is Bibi Netanyahu. It's not that it's because they're Jewish per se, but because they're Zionists, because they're committed to an ideology of Jewish superiority where the Jews are superior to every other race, which only exists to serve the Jews. This is a Talmudic, Babylonian inspired, version of Judaism, very different from the Orthodox Jews who believe in the Old Testament. These are the Talmudic Jews with a rabbinical tradition who hold these extreme views. If you want to talk about, you know, superiority, what the white superiority isn't the problem. It's Jewish superiority. And what we have in the Biden administration is the forms of discrimination that are giving preferential treatment to blacks and persons of color over whites, even in the dispensing of vaccines. I mean, this is absolutely stunning. Meanwhile, get this. The cop who killed Ashley Babbitt was cleared of criminal wrongdoing without even being interviewed. When the U.S. Capitol Police Lieutenant Michael Byrd, who happens to be black, went on NBC Nightly News to tell his side of the shooting and killing an unarmed January 6th protester, Ashley Babbitt, he made a point to note he'd been investigated by several agencies and exonerated. There's an investigative process, and I was cleared by the DOJ and FBI and the Metropolitan Police, he told NBC News anchor Lester Holt, who's just a very smooth propagandist, Lester Holt, especially a mouthpiece for Big Pharma, adding the Capitol Police had also cleared him of wrongdoing. He then answered a series of questions by Holt about the shooting. But what he told the friendly journalists, he likely never told investigators. That's because he refused to answer their questions, according to several sources and documents revealed by real clear investigators. In fact, they cleared Byrd of wrongdoing without actually interviewing him about the shooting or threatening him with punishment if he did not cooperate with their criminal investigation. He didn't provide any statement to criminal investigators. They didn't push him to make a statement, Babbitt family attorney Terry Roberts said. It's astonishing how skimpy his investigative file is. It's outrageous. I mean, Kyle Rittenhouse was acting in self-defense. The laws about self-defense are very clear. There are like five criteria that are applicable. The threat to you has to be imminent. It has to be lethal or grievous bodily harm. Your reaction to the threat must be proportional. The threat must be one you have been unable to avoid. All these conditions were satisfied by Kyle Rittenhouse. I've reported on this many, many times. But in the case of Ashley Babbitt, none of those conditions were satisfied. There was no threat to this Capitol Police officer. There was no threat whatsoever. She was still in the window trying to climb into a hallway. He was 6 or 8 feet away from her when he fired. She didn't pose a lethal threat to him. She wasn't even in the vicinity. Thus, there was no immediacy. There was no proportionality. This cannot have been a justifiable shoot. Completely outrageous. An individual does not have to die for the force to be deemed deadly. Four elements are required: an unprovoked attack, which threatens imminent injury or death, an objectively reasonable degree of force used in response to force, an objectively reasonable fear of death or injury. But you must have also sought to avoid it. So the best expert is available here. Broca, B-R-O-C-A, gives a really telling. Meanwhile, and here's another bizarre story. Alec Baldwin hasn't turned over the cell phone at the center of his arrest warrant yet, even though it's been nearly a month since the warrant was issued. The tragic death of cinematographer Helena Hutchins remains under investigation, and a war of words appears to be brewing between local authorities and Hollywood A-lister Alec Baldwin. Baldwin was rehearsing drawing a Colt revolver when Hutchins was shot and killed by live ammo that should never have been on the set in the first place. He's claiming he never pulled the trigger, a claim experts having a difficult time deciphering. Guns don't just go off on their own. Furthermore, local authorities appear to be concerned about Baldwin's unhurried response to a search warrant for his cell phone, and they're speaking very publicly about that concern. Remember, I mentioned the cell phone they never downloaded from one of the three perps who was shot by Kyle Rittenhouse under completely justifiable self-defense conditions. The sheriff's office has reportedly turned to the district attorney's office because the actor still has not complied with the warrant. Baldwin has a different opinion of the situation. Despite the clear facts, he continues to insist he's been complying with all legal orders from investigators. Any suggestion that I'm not complying with the requests or orders or demands or search warrants about my phone, that's bullshit. That's a lie, Baldwin said in a video rant posted to social media back on January 8th. Baldwin's lawyers insist an agreement has been reached regarding the deadline to turn over the phone. But with a month having passed, there's no telling how relevant the contents remaining on his phone will be to the investigation at this point. Back after the break, and I will be taking calls early to discuss all of the above and more. Stand by. We'll be right back. We'll be right back. Stand by. Alec Baldwin, how could he withhold his cell phone? I mean, it's just absurd. This is outrageous. Who knows what it might tell us about the offense? This appears less and less to have been an accidental shooting than a deliberate effort to commit murder and get away with it scot-free by Alec Baldwin. We shall see. Outrageous.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Torture us and bomb us. Fire is tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio. 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 Radio.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and freedomslips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, I had not anticipated opening the phone lines quite this early. We do have a caller from the 952 area code. I'm glad to take your call. Give us your first name, your state, and join the conversation. 952, are you there? Well, in the meanwhile, if we get our caller here, I'll be glad to take his call. Meanwhile, we have the Army preparing for something that may leave you stunned. Biden said he would work as a unifier, but he's done the opposite. Now the Army is preparing for something that will leave you stunned. Just days after the anniversary of the Capitol Hill riot, news broke the Army is training young soldiers in guerrilla warfare tactics to overthrow an illegitimate government of freedom fighters. Listen to this. The two-week training course known as Robin Sage occurs each year but takes on new significance in light of recent events. Biden's Department of Justice just designated domestic terrorism as a chief threat facing the country and created a special task force to pursue groups and individuals. This also comes after the Democrats spent the last 5 years saying that Donald Trump was an illegitimate president. If Trump were to run and win again in 2024, there's no telling how far the establishment would go to stop him. The deep state spied on Trump's campaign, tried to frame him for treason during the Russiagate hoax. The Democrat establishment is attempting to escalate tensions when the country is more divided than it's ever been. Retired Special Force Warrant Officer Steve Balistrate, he said of Robin Sage. The Special Forces candidates have to meet up with and make rapport with Third World Nation guerrilla force, train them up, and then work by, with, and through that guerrilla force to conduct combat operations against a numerically superior enemy occupying force. The Nemus Democrat talking point is that American democracy hangs in the balance if the Republicans get back in power in the midterm. Now, mind you, if one were seeking to destroy America, opening the floodgates, it's been widely reported that of the 2 million who have entered illegally, where the Biden administration, if you can believe it, is now going to channel hundreds of thousands, even millions of taxpayer dollars to hire lawyers to defend these illegals against being deported back out of the country. What a waste of time and effort. They should never have been allowed in the first place. But where many have observed that these young men, many of them look very physically fit between the ages of 18 and 25, who would be perfect to be conscripted into the U.S. military, granted citizenship, and then used to fight against Americans, law-abiding citizens who are opposed to the tyranny. Believe me, when you have a Lloyd Austin, who's, in my opinion, a complete traitor as Secretary of Defense, and when he's introducing all these bizarre training programs now, they're adding 2 weeks to the training cycle to get training in racism and, you know, wokeism and how America is systemically racist and blah, blah, blah. In other words, the Democrats are trying to convert our military into a Democrat voter producing mechanism. And, of course, introducing the vax, which is going to vastly compromise our military from conducting actual military operations. If you replace them with the illegals, and remember, the illegals are not even being tested, much less given a vax. That means they're going to be healthy. They're going to be fit. They're going to be fine. So when you talk about this rapport with a third world nation, they're talking about using the army to use anti-guerrilla forces against Americans who may take up arms against the Democrat tyranny of Joe Biden and his administration. That's what they're talking about. The article continues. Biden, Obama, Schumer, and other prominent Democrats are making the pitch that the Senate filibuster must be destroyed so the Democrats can cram through their voting rights bill that nationalizes election laws and keeps them open for rampant fraud by making mail-in balloting universal across the United States. It was so successful for them as contributing to the theft of the election of 2020, where Gruesome Newsom used it again by the Secretary of State to claim you can print your own ballot at home. I mean, imagine how many print your own ballots could each Democrat print off his own computer? 100? 1,000? No wonder Newsom was able to survive a reelection where Californians universally despise the guy. So he's virtually invulnerable because they're using these techniques to steal elections, which they want to make permanent for the entirety of the United States. Thank God Kristen Sinema and Joe Manchin are opposed to altering the filibuster. That means they cannot do it. They cannot change the filibuster even for their alleged voting reforms. They're right now being addressed on the front page of the Wisconsin State Journal, where the governor, Tony Evers, who's a spineless weakling, a Democrat toad, declares that, you know, voting rights are the real issue here. It's clear Democrats are going to try to make that a campaign issue for 2020, as well as they're going to string along the January 6th. I don't think it's going to play well with the American people. Meanwhile, the Democrat rhetoric has become dangerously overheated, so much so Attorney General Garland authorized the FBI to investigate parents protesting, as I've already reported. Social scientists have shockingly predicted that another civil war could actually happen, something that seemed unimaginable a decade ago. But the Democrats are moving so wildly and radically to the left, there's no telling what they might say or do next. This is pretty fascinating stuff. Now, here are two stories that I think epitomize what's going on in America today. Remember, communication is indispensable to for a community to act in concert to achieve their common goals. So if you can disrupt their communication, you can underline the very capacity of sincere, well-meaning, law-abiding citizens to accomplish their goals. Get these two stories, which complement one another in a completely negative fashion. Hang on. Facebook deletes 120,000 member group where people posted stories of alleged adverse vaccine reactions. Now, they put in the word alleged, of course, but the fact is there are massive numbers of adverse vaccine reactions. They're going on all over. What could be more appropriate use of Facebook than for those who have suffered these adverse reactions to come together? It was even a private site. It was a private site. Facebook has removed a popular, rapidly growing group where members would post stories about allegedly negative COVID-19 vaccine side effects. The group, COVID-19 Vaccine Victims and Families, had over 120,000 followers when it was shut down and had been gaining more than 10,000 followers per week. And if you look at it, it was a private website, a private website, and yet Facebook took it down. The shutdown of the pages follows Facebook introducing a ban on a wide range of claims about the coronavirus vaccine in February. The list of prohibited claims include those that the vaccine caused blood clots, claims the vaccine changed people's DNA, something that even Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg told Facebook staff during a July 2020 internal meeting. It does. Those claims aren't false. Those claims are true. They're substantiated by an enormous amount of evidence. Not only is Facebook restricting a wide range of vaccine-related claims, but it's also adding labels to all posts about coronavirus vaccine. The labels state the vaccines are safe and effective and direct users to sources that Facebook deems to be authoritative, such as the World Health Organization. Well, let me clue you in. Even the World Health Organization has a database for adverse effects that includes over 2 million adverse effects, over 2 million adverse effects. So look at the incoherence of the Facebook position, banning a group with 120,000 members that are discussing adverse effects, ostensibly on the ground that there aren't any adverse effects, then encourage going to the World Health Organization, which actually has its own database showing there are over 2 million adverse effects from the vax, which, by the way, is a 1,000-fold increase from the year before, when there are only around 2,000, which itself was a stunning increase from the year before, when there are only 87. All this has occurred from the introduction of the COVID vaccine. It's like a hockey stick on the side. Very low, low, low until the vax is introduced and then skyrocketing. Facebook actions are similar to those of other big tech platforms, which have also cracked down on vaccine-related conversations over the past few months. YouTube prohibits videos that go against the World Health Organization consensus on coronavirus vaccines and adds information panels to some videos that direct viewers to WHO and the CDC. They also ban harmful, misleading posts about vaccines, but how in the hell would they know? The leading experts in the world have all declared, Sherry Tenpenny, Judy Mikovits, Peter McCullough, Robert Maddow, who actually invented the mRNA vaccine, Luc Montagnier, the frontline doctors. I mean, the leading sources. Go to my BitChute channel, Jim Fetzer, bitchute.com/videos/Jim_Fetzer. And just scroll down. Look at a recent one by David Martin. Absolutely brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Politicians have actively encouraged a big tech crackdown on vaccine skepticism days ago. They pushed Facebook and Twitter to address 12 prominent vaccine skeptics. State attorneys general have also told Facebook and Twitter to kill vaccine skepticism. Outrageous. Well, here's that story I was mentioning. Vast government scheme involving millions used to pay for lawyers for illegals. An incredible new report claims some 5.6 million in both state and local taxpayer money will be used to pay lawyers representing illegal aliens fighting deportation in 2022, and the figure, the amount may even increase. This information comes from the Immigration Reform Law Institute, an immigration reform organization, which released a report on Tuesday. The organization found at least 5.6 million in taxpayer money had already been earmarked to pay for lawyers working on deportation defense programs, which give people who illegally enter and remain in the U.S. access to funds to fight legitimate efforts to deport them. The group described the figure as a conservative estimate that does not include numerous other localities that fund their own independent anti-deportation programs. Does this sound like a good use of your money? It's just more insanity, more anti-American movement by the Biden administration. Just unbelievable. Dale Wilcox, executive director for the group, said the programs are an insult to every law-abiding American citizen and legal resident who pays their taxes. He added, American laws clearly state any non-citizen charged with a civil offense doesn't have the right to legal representation, yet for some reason, radical anti-border groups are being allowed to start programs and use taxpayer money to pay for them. Think about it. The report shows it's not just the federal government working against American interests, stopping the construction of the southern border wall, flying illegal aliens who arrive at the border to random cities. I think they aren't actually random. They're trying to change the demographics in swing states to make them more amenable to vote Democratic. In the dead of night, state groups and local efforts are also facilitating these federal efforts, making it easier for the tens of millions of illegals already in the U.S. to remain here. Meanwhile, Kevin McCarthy, who's the House GOP leader, the minority leader in the House of Representatives, has told Kevin McCarthy that the Biden White House likes high gas prices because the whole plan is all about the Green New Deal. These are very astute observations. Biden has hamstrung America's energy commitment since his first day in office nearly a year ago. He signed executive orders shutting down the Keystone XL pipeline, halting natural gas and oil drilling and exploration on federal lands nationwide. The net result of these drastic policy shifts from former Trump's approach to energy development is the U.S. went from being energy independent and a net exporter of energy under Trump to having energy shortages and sky-high gas prices under Biden. Biden also allowed Russian President Putin to open up the Nord Stream 2, a natural gas pipeline to Eastern Europe, even though he shut down similar but safe efforts here in the United States. This is all completely outrageous, and it needs to be reinforced by the recognition that the entire Green New Deal is predicated on false claims about the relationship between CO2 and the temperature of Earth. Joe Olson and I are doing a series about this, climate change, reality or illusion, where we have now done 3, perhaps 4 different episodes. You can find that on that BitChute channel, bitchute.com/video/Jim_Fetzer, where in the very first, Joe pointed out that we have 600 million years of history that show there is no correlation whatsoever between the amount of CO2 in the atmosphere and Earth's temperature. Bear in mind that in order for a causal relation to exist between two variables, they must be correlated. You must have an increase in one, bring about an increase in the other, a decrease in one, bring about a decrease in the other. We have that, for example, for vaccinations and autism. There is a clear correlation between the increased use of vaccines and the increased occurrence of autism. The decreased use of a vaccine brings about a decreased incident of autism. Similarly with smoking and cancer. Increased smoking has brought about greater incidence of cancer. decreased smoking, a diminution in cancer. Mind you, even when there exist well-established correlations, as in these cases, the industries have nevertheless fought the idea that there's a causal connection. The big pharma has fought the idea that their vaccines are causing autism, even though the evidence is overwhelming. Big tobacco has fought the conclusion that smoking causes cancer, even though the evidence is simply overwhelming. And now it appears we even have among engineers in America who know that the whole climate change business is a fraud, that while there are variations in Earth's temperature that rise and fall, that they're independent of CO2, which actually serves to cool the Earth in four different respects and is indispensable to the existence of life on planet Earth, even though they know this is false, they're reluctant to address it because they get so much funding from the Department of Energy, such that Joe Olson confronted the head of a 50,000-member strong association dealing with refrigeration and related issues, who agreed that, in fact, it is all fake. But nevertheless, they have to go along with the Department of Energy because so much of their income is dependent upon it, which may also explain why engineers across the country have not spoken out about 9/11, when we were told that the Twin Towers collapsed, when it wasn't even physically possible for the Twin Towers to collapse. It wasn't even physically possible. So we have the absurd situation that people who are the best experts aren't speaking about it, issues that are even extremely blatant, that are crucial to the national interest because of money. They are bought and sold. This is pathetic. Meanwhile, Tucker is reporting it's terrifying. Americans are being denied COVID treatment based on race. This is absolutely stunning. In the weeks before Joe Biden took office, a little over a year ago, federal officials met to decide how they were going to distribute the new COVID vaccines. If you think back, you remember December of 2020 was the deadliest month to date in the COVID pandemic. More than 65,000 Americans had died that month. People are very afraid of the virus. Then there was no treatment protocol for it. Vaccines seemed like the only hope. So the meeting was very significant. This is Tucker reporting. The CDC's chief medical officer, a person called Kathleen Dooling, unveiled her plan to distribute the vaccines nationally. She began by acknowledging that older Americans indeed face the greatest risk, as everyone understood. So logically, if you wanted to save as many Americans as possible from dying, you would give preference the very first shot to people over 65. That's the obvious policy. It might be the only morally defensible policy. But there was a problem with doing that, she explained. Older Americans were too white, as Dooling put it. Racial and ethnic minority groups are underrepresented among adults age 65 and older. And this meant, according to Dooling, they could not be allowed to get the first COVID shots, whether they needed them or not. So instead, Dooling recommended giving priority to a group the government started calling essential workers. Their main qualification was not that they were essential, but that they were less white. So that's what the CDC went with. Its panel overwhelmingly approved Kathleen Dooling's recommendation. None of this got a lot of notice at the time, but it was a major change. Never in American history, modern history in any case, has a federal government made an official policy to withhold life-saving medical treatment from Americans on the basis of their skin color. And that's exactly what the CDC did. Let me say, this is clearly unconstitutional. It not only violates all of our anti-discrimination laws, which apply to discrimination against whites as much as they apply to discrimination against blacks, but it violates the Equal Protection Clause of the Constitution. This is absolutely outrageous and wrong. And yet this is what Biden has done. This is what Biden has done and continues to do to this day. So how those most likely to die of COVID had to wait weeks until their vaccines were approved. How many died in the meantime as they waited? No one kept track. No one kept track of those numbers because nobody seemed to care. And because nobody cared, the trend continued. Race had become a deciding factor in distribution of critical health care in this country. Several states made it explicit. Whites would go last in COVID vaccine queue regardless of need. The state of Vermont did this. So did Montana. And then the moment he was declared president-elect, Joe Biden made it official. A concept called equity, a kind of hyper-aggressive, racially hostile affirmative action, anti-white, would form the basis of everything the new administration did, beginning with COVID policy. Here's Biden before even being sworn in last year. Joe Biden. I want to be very clear what my priorities are for distributing this emergency aid swiftly and equitably. Our focus will be on small businesses on Main Street that aren't wealthy and well-connected, that are facing real economic hardship through no fault of their own. Our priority will be Black, Latino, Asian, and Native American-owned small businesses and women-owned businesses. So you notice the assumption in the sentence that undergirds all the assumptions behind the administration's equity policy, which is non-white means poor, non-white means less healthy. As a factual matter, that's not true. But the emphasis I give here is this is all blatantly unconstitutional. I believe if the Republicans regain the House in November, which I predict with great confidence, they could move for impeachment on this grounds alone because he's violating the equal protection under the laws of the Constitution. All of this is utterly lawless. All of this is in violation of anti-discrimination laws. All of this violates American traditions. Remember Martin Luther King, and today we honor his life and death. Martin Luther King said he dreamed of the day when men would judge by the content of their character rather than the color of their skin. Biden is reversing all of that. I open the phone calls to your number, 540-352-4452. Mitchell will field your call, 542-352-4452. This is absolutely stunning stuff. We'll be right back.
Take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, we have a couple of callers online. We had an earlier caller who's welcome to call back. The first caller is from area code 256. Please give us your first name and state and join the conversation. 256.
This is Dave from Alabama.
Dave, welcome.
Welcome. I wanted to talk to you about the rally that Trump held. That Florence, Alabama is a little shit-ass town way out in the boondocks, and for it to take 2 hours for people to get in there must have been a hell of a commission, because I bought property right close to there in Eloy, and I know what it is. It's out in the country. So for it to take 2 hours for people to get in and out, it was quite a bit of thing. I wasn't there because I'm 77 years old in a wheelchair. I was a engineer at NASA. I retired from there in 2004, so I know of what I speak. I used to live in Arizona. I live in Alabama now, and I'm telling you, that is a hell of a feat to have that many people come to a place that far out in the country. That is really out in the country. And
yeah, go ahead.
The guy that shot Ashley Babbitt, why is the outrage from people from shooting an unarmed person? She didn't have a gun. They're glad to tell you that he shot a guy with no gun when the policeman shoots a criminal. But there's nobody worried about her. She was a retired veteran from the service, and she didn't deserve to be shot like that.
Oh, you're absolutely right, Dave. It's fascinating that this town is way out in the boonies, because we have reports the police were turning away thousands others of cars who'd driven out there. It's absolutely fascinating. Yeah.
Absolutely. There was a hell of a crowd there. I watched it on Eastern America TV, because they had it on there running it from the site, and it was packed as far as you could see. There was people and cars as far as you could see, and it's way out in the country. That where that's out is next to Eloy, where I bought property at the airport there, near the airport, and I know what it is. It's way out in the country, so it was quite a feat.
That's fascinating, Dave. I'm so glad to have you add that point. Why don't you hang in there while I bring in our second caller, from the 408 area code, whom I believe is Paul from California. Paul, glad to hear from you.
Okay. Yeah, you know, I was looking on Wikipedia, and it says that almost everything you talk about is a conspiracy theory with no foundation at all. And it also says that you used to be a woman, and now you're a man with a huge saving bill. So
that's a new one on me, but nothing would surprise me, Paul. I get the most ridiculous drivel claiming I've taken out kinds of positions that I've never taken. I mean, it's just ridiculous beyond words. So tell us your take on the latest developments I'm reporting on in here and now.
Well, you covered lots and lots of ground there in the first hour and a half, so you would need to be more specific. My general take is, you know, I like listening to you. You know, I think like a lot of listeners, we're all addicted to your voice and your presentation of events. Sometimes we take issue with your interpretation of them. So again, you already know what I think about Trump, and I don't really believe that anything is going to change without, you know, some pretty nasty stuff occurring. I'll believe in politicians when I hear any politician name the Jew and also talk about, say, breaking up BlackRock or eliminating the Federal Reserve and going to a national currency and so on. Then politics will mean something. But until then, you know, it's just it's entertainment for the most part. And
how did he get out of office? Trump out of office.
I'm sorry. What did you say?
How did Trump get taken out of office?
I think he's alluding to the stolen election.
Right.
Yeah.
Right,
that's exactly right. That's an election, and somebody that tells you that they're going to wait for this to happen and that to happen, ain't nothing the shit going to happen because they ain't got enough nerve. And everybody knows who did everything. And you can admit, you can agree with him on some things, and you can agree on, disagree with him on others. But they're doing a hell of a lot better off. And I know because I only get $2,000 a month on Social Security. I can tell you without a doubt, it's worse today than it was when he was in. This man fought the government, the guy at General Milley, to tell them that he was not going to attack them. Ha, ha, ha. I've never heard of that before. Why is that goddamn guy not in jail? He should be in jail. And somebody tells you that you're not going to do anything by election, that's the only way you're going to do it right now. Is you're going to get him in by election and Republicans in by election. So you're sitting back and you'll be picking your nose when you got Democrats in there completely and they changed the election laws and everything so you can't vote.
We have a report that, you know, various opinions, so I'd like yours, Paul, about whether or not we are headed for a civil war. Or do you think? Tell me, I'm just interested in your thoughts about that. I believe Biden is setting things up in such a way to use the military against the American people by incorporating these migrants, giving them citizenship. Your thoughts?
Well, I think we both know, Jim, that, you know, Biden has almost no agency. He's just a prop on a stage. So there's actual real power behind or aside from these politicians, that's, you know, not even debatable. Okay, so therefore, what is it that we're looking at? I mean, the idea that, okay, Trump's going to come back and win the election this time, he won it last time. Essentially, we sort of have a reality. There's at least two realities, I think you would agree. The one reality is the one they tell us exists, right? And then the other is the reality that actually exists. Okay, so, I mean, what is the reality that actually exists, Jim? Think about that. I mean, there's at least one more version of Joe Biden, just like there was one or more versions of Hillary Clinton. essentially the White House is a prop, is a stage set. To me, I just think that, again, you know, I've made this case for years, and, you know, like I said, you know, I like listening to you, and I like your shows, and you're extremely valuable in terms of, you know, the way that you aggregate information, and you make a lot of astute observations. But I just think at this point, elections are a delusion. You know, they're going to go ahead and put the elections on because they want us to think that the elections are part of reality. But I think it can be demonstrated they're not. It's kind of like the, you know, I made a statement, you know, the other day on another show, and I actually included it in an email to somebody. But, you know, it's like to give us these courtrooms and all these law books and everything to give us the illusion that we're living under the rule of law. And I think, you know, it's really not so. So that's my two cents on that.
Well, I really wanted
basement.
Yeah, go ahead, Dave.
I think the spacemen, the aliens, will get you if you vote. So, you know, I don't know how you think you're going to do anything else but lose and lose badly. Was it better under Trump? Yes. Did I agree with Trump? No. I didn't agree with his shit on the Jews and all that stuff. But life was better when we got a chance to fight. And without the voting thing, you have to have so many votes to counter them because they cheat. I know that. I'm not disagreeing with that. If somebody tells me some other way to overturn this thing, that's fine. But right now, all you've got is the election system. I'm sorry, but that's all you've got. If you don't have that,
I just told you that we don't really have it, okay? You said
I
we always
you
got
tell me everything. You're telling me everything, but when I go to fill up my gas, it cost me a hell of a lot yesterday. A hell of a lot today than it did yesterday.
Well,
I mean, you can go all you want. Anybody talks about not having elections is a turncoat to me. There's somebody I got to be careful of. I don't want to be around because I know.
Well, we're separated by thousands of miles, so you have no worries there.
Well,
I don't have any worries anyway because I carry 9mm. I might be 77 years old.
Well, Dave, Paul is far from alone in being skeptical about the legitimacy of our elections, and when they can steal it as ruthlessly as they did in 2020, it certainly raises serious questions about the legitimacy of our elections in general. And we had a replication in California where Newsom, without any question, stole the recall election by allowing people to print their own ballots. Paul, you're out there in California. What an obscenity. How did your friends and neighbors react to the idea of being able to print their own ballots, as many as they like, and send them in as often as they want?
Well, you know, to be honest with you, nobody that I know. To be honest, nobody that I know talked about it, and I'm not sure if anybody really knew about it. As you know, I've made mention of the court case out here from a Sutter County Municipal Court where a guy by the name of Kevin Kiley, a state representative, and another person by the name of Gallagher, Kiley and Gallagher versus Newsom, they won a case, I believe it was November of 2020, that the judge ruled that Newsom could not issue any orders under the California Emergency Services Act. And part of the reason that case was brought was Newsom was trying to change these election laws and get all these things that were, approved that were already prohibited by law. So, again, it's an eight and a half page decision. And I used to actually carry it on my clipboard when I went into stores because it essentially said that Newsom was permanently enjoined from issuing any further orders under the California Emergency Services Act. So, that, as I mentioned before in other calls on this and other shows, that there's been multiple court decisions at the state and even the U.S. district court level that have gone against all these governors, right? And they're basically saying they do not have the authority of their office to do these things is not there. So what are we looking at here? Okay, think about that. Again, I make simple points, and they're easy to understand. So our friend in Alabama, you know, he may be, you know, right in his perception that things were better. Okay, fine, but that's beside the point, right? Anybody can say my life is better or my life is worse.
That's not beside the point.
Dave, hold on. I'm going to bring you back, Dave. Just let Paul finish his thoughts. I think that's very telling, Paul, because Biden's been acting in grossly unconstitutional way. They knew this OSHA mandate had no legal standing, that it was beyond the authority of OSHA, but they went ahead and issued it anyway because they're playing psychological games. They're trying to leverage people into taking a shot, even though it's grossly against their best interest. It's just stunning what's going on here and the number of deaths that are going to occur. I wanted to know if you think that we're heading toward a civil war. Do you have an opinion about that?
I do not know. I can't see how it won't happen sooner or later, and that could be, 2 years or 10 years. I do not know. It just depends on how much they push, because I don't really think most people are going to act unless things are really bad, you know, unless they're, you know, electricity, you know, goes out for extended periods of time, unless there's, you know, shortage of food, unless there's a number of very contrived things that really set people off. But as long as people in general are comfortable and they can, and they're well fed, they're probably, the average person is probably not going to do anything. That doesn't mean that there aren't plenty of reasons to, you know, to act, because as you said, alluding earlier to the Declaration of Independence and so forth, I think that that line has been crossed so many times and so long ago that the American people would be completely justified in whatever it is they did, you know, including an actual real insurrection. But whether or not that happens or not, I don't have a crystal ball. But today's point, again, this is the whole idea about being a consumer, and that things are better as a consumer under one politician versus another. And to me, you know, I think that really is beside the point. You know, yes, gas is more expensive now than it was under Trump. But was it really Trump, and is it really Biden? Again, given the fact that we know Biden is a puppet, right, that most of these politicians are just actors on a stage, and they can't really do anything without, shall we say, prior approval, and in many cases, they're just following a script. I mean, make the case to me that Biden, you know, writes his own speeches and reads them, and that Biden gives all these orders to cause all these things to occur all across the country. That's an absurd idea. Just one more thing quickly about the fraud, the legal fraud of everything that's going on. Still to this day, in stores, you'll see a state law, you know, requires a mask, when, of course, that's a lie. There is no state law. Now, many of the other stores have changed their signs now, and they say by order of the county, blah, blah, blah. And, of course, it's just a vague thing, order of the county. What does that really mean? You know, there needs to be a person in the county who has authority to, you know, to give such an order, and that order would, and none of this exists. So many of these stores out here, a lot of them are big corporations, some of them are smaller businesses, but they're still committing fraud by putting up a sign that says a mask is required, because no such requirement exists under the law. So it just goes back to my original point about we have a couple of versions of reality, which one is real, and well, let's face it, it's the one that we perceive as real, and most people are operating under extremely diluted perceptions, unfortunately.
Yeah, good points. Good points. Dave, now you want to add your thoughts?
Yes, sir. There's not going to be any rebellion, any turnover of the government, because the American people don't have enough sense to know who runs them anyway. The dude didn't get in there yesterday, and they're who controls everything. We all know that, but it's what things cost. It comes out of your pocket when you got to go to the grocery store. I know what reality is. I was working at NASA when they did their foolishness. They never went to the moon, but yet they got that story through. And you can't disagree with them. You know, like I say, the only way you're going to beat them is through the system that we have available to us. Anybody that doesn't agree that we don't have that system and doesn't provide an alternative to getting something done is non-gratis to me. Because I'm not as stupid as some people. I've been around. I'm 77 years old. I was an engineer at NASA for 20 years. So I know what I'm talking about. And when you,
well,
when I lived out in Arizona, that area that around that Trump rally is a tremendous area. There must be a hell of a lot of fools there, because that's the only way you're going to do anything is to vote this guy out. And to vote him out, you got to cheat better than he can cheat. I mean,
well, why should we have to vote him out when we never voted him in, Dave?
Because you're there. You're living under them. I mean, when you go to the grocery store.
Yeah, but again,
is that reality when you pay at
the
grocery store? Extra money? Is that a reality?
Dave, just let me say one sentence and you can go back on your rant that doesn't make a lot of sense. What the argument that you're making negates itself. Okay, if you understand what I'm telling you. You basically
are what you're saying. You're saying that we don't run things. But how are you going to change them? I want to know how you're going to change them rather than sit back there and say, oh, I don't
know.
That's the reality, son. When you vote.
Okay.
And that's the only way to do anything is they have enough to.
But if voting is an illusion, then you're participating in an illusion. And it's already been demonstrated that in large measure
it's an illusion. I just told you, you're not an illusion in voting. You've got to have things controlled. You're living under voting. Voting got him in there.
Have you been doing a lot of drinking in your life?
No, Paul, ad hominems. Listen, Gallup shock. This is a brand new story. GOP now leads Democrats in voter affiliation. Americans' political party preference during 2021 shifted from Democrat to Republican in the largest move since Gallup began regularly measuring party identification and leaning in 1991. Democrats went from a 9 percentage point in advantage in the first quarter of 2021 to a rare 5-point deficit in the GOP in the fourth quarter, Gallup said Monday. A total of 49% of Americans consider themselves Democrat in last year's first quarter, but that fell to 42% in the final. Survey respondents identifying as Republican increased from 40 to 47% during the same period. So they went from a 9-point up to 5-point now. That's a 14-point swing. Paul, that's going to have enormous political ramifications, which we're already reporting. I'm predicting the Republicans are going to take 100 House, you know, seats in the House and 3 or 4 in the Senate. I know your feelings about voting in general, but do you have any reason to doubt that could take place if we have remotely fair elections?
No, I mean, I certainly find all the statistics and the results you just went over very plausible. There's no doubt about it in my mind, but. You know, let's look at it another way just for the fun of it. So you've heard about the NFL and many games being rigged, right? So
yes.
In my mind, and not everyone is rigged, but of course some of the more important ones are rigged, and certain ones are rigged for betting outcomes. And there's a little doubt about that. And in fact, there's a very interesting clip that came across a little while ago. And this clip has actually been mentioned on a couple of other shows where a former NFL player who was identified, he wasn't shy about his name, and he just flat out told these people on a radio interview that the outcome is not decided on the field, you know, in games that are in play. In other words, there are regular games that they play, but there's other games where the outcome is not decided on the field. That's what this man said. So think of it in terms of politics, right? So in other words, just make the analogy. So it doesn't matter how good of a running game or how good of a passer or a defense or, you know, anything else that these teams have going. If there's an NFL commissioner and he can make a call to the owners and the owners can make a call to the coach and everybody just goes ahead and they put a game on, but the outcome is predetermined. So that's the way I feel essentially about this whole Republican Democrat paradigm. And you know, I'm not alone, Jim. I mean, you know that there's
of course
many
of course.
Yeah. So
Anyway, of course you're not alone,
a lot
Paul.
Of people, a lot of people believe in aliens, too. But I'm living under the voting system. Nobody has given me a better system to reduce the prices of stuff that I eat, stuff that I go to get gas with, and all that. Regardless of what you say, you're living under reality, and that's voting. You might not believe in voting, but you're living under that reality right now.
Well, that's Dave, we have a, you know, a clear division. I mean, just we just agree to disagree. Paul is more skeptical about the significance of voting. You are more positive. I'm somewhere in between.
The world is flat, but it's not flat.
Dave, just because you have a difference with Paul doesn't mean you're right and he's wrong, okay?
No,
so this is not a comparison with flat earthers, okay? We all know I don't believe a flat earth is even physically possible given the laws of gravity. And I let me add, I'm doing a series on climate change with Joe Olson. And I encourage everyone to watch it because the whole climate change scenario is absolutely scientifically refutable. It's not true. And the idea we're going to destroy the gas and oil industry here and turn to electric cars and all that is completely absurd and unwarranted scientifically. There's an unlimited amount of oil. It's produced naturally by Earth. If we were to get rid of on the wrong ground, it would be a calamity for the United States. No one seems to ponder what happens if the electrical grid goes down. It's better to have massive variety of modes of transportation, including gas and oil propelled vehicles. Let me just say, there is no correlation between the temperature of the earth and the amount of CO2 in the atmosphere. Go to bitshoot.com/videos/Jim_Fetzer and watch several of the Joe Olson and my interviews, our shows about climate change. You'll do yourself a favor. I'm so glad, Dave, you called in. And Paul, always glad to hear from you. We have covered quite a few issues today. I say the situation is very, very grim. Thank you for being here. See you on Wednesday.
This is Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. I pulled some strings and gotten you front row seats to my new show, The Perfect Triangle, live Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Revolution Radio Studio A. The Perfect Triangle is equilateral, three sides of the same length. In an angry, bipolar world, three perfect sides reveal many truths.
Body, mind, and spirit.
Thought, word, and deed.
Conspiracy, propaganda, and truth.
Natural health, allopathic tyranny, and your body.
Freedom, globalism, and sovereign nations.
And so much more. Each week, the Perfect Triangle will blast through fake news lies, champion the natural way and natural law, unravel the Orwellian deceptions of our corrupt government, reveal the satanic evil of globalist banks and transnational corporations. Tune in every Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, to Revolution Radio Studio A for thoughtful discussions with free thinkers. Your calls are always welcome. The Perfect Triangle, with Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. Join me, won't you?
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict, but...